up there for me, if that's possible? Pastor Tu, I need new glasses, man. This is not working for me. Can we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for this afternoon as we just open up the Word and read the whole entire letter that James wrote to the 12 tribes who've been scattered across all nations. And we have this privilege right now to just open up the Word and see and hear and listen to God, to what you have to say. Let our hearts all be open and be ready as the seed is planted in our hearts, O God. Let it germinate, let it bear fruit, that not one single word that's been preached will return to you void. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been doing the whole series on James, and today we have the conclusion, if I may use the word, in chapter 5. And what great way to look at is to chapter 5, the last two verses of chapter 5. Is on? Okay. If you come with me in chapter 5, the last two verses there, it says this: "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." I have entitled this as "Finish Well." How many of you, you know, have participated in any kind of race, like, you know, whether it's half a marathon or 100-meter sprint, AFL, whatever it is, you know, any game? If you have, you will recall that when you were like young teenager or any at whatever age, participating in any sport, you go in there to win, right? Nobody goes to any game or sport or race to just go there to have a bit of fun. Some do, all right? Some do go a bit for fun. But most of us have this competitive spirit in us that we go in there to have a bit of a fun, but also we want to win. I do, all right? And so I've entitled this "Finish Well" because all of us want to finish well. Is there anyone here in this room would say, you know what, I don't really want to finish well. I'm happy to be mediocre and average. Anyone here happy to just end off average, you know, when you've at the end of the day and you're, you know, on your eulogy, someone goes up and says he's an average person. You know, he hasn't achieved much, but he's just an average Joe. I don't think you want that to happen. We all want to finish well. We want to say and finish the race and say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." That's how it is. And so James ends off with this. So I have a question up there. It says, are you a wanderer or are you a wander Christian? Wander is spelled with W-A-N-D-E-R and the other one is spelled with a W-O-N-D-E-R. We have a choice to be a wanderer or become a wander Christian. So the question here is this. When we read James chapter 5, verse 19, he says, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth," you have to ask this question: how and why do people wander from the truth? Why would you want to wander away from the truth? Then you have to go back to James chapter 1 to understand why. So if you can go with me back to, I know there's a bit of a few pages there. According to my Bible, it's page 847. So if you go to James chapter 1, it's verse 2 says, I'm supposed to do this. It says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So you see, James started off with, "My dear brothers, look, when troubles of all kinds come your way." That's how he started in James chapter 1. But then he ended James chapter 5, the last verse, saying, "If anyone wanders away from the truth." So when he asked the question, why would people want to wander from the truth, it's found in chapter 1. Because of trials and tribulation. Because when people go through trials and tribulation, when their faith gets tested, some fall by the wayside. Because it's just too hard. Look, I've been through, I played rugby when I was a teenager. You might laugh, oh, this guy is too small to play rugby. But look, I was in an Asian country, so relatively, I'm pretty big size. You know, I played rugby union when I was there. I was an athlete. I was a middle distance runner. And I also ran in the cross country. And 3 years ago, I ran half a marathon. So not too bad for someone who is about 25 years of age. Sorry, I was married 25 years for now, right? So it's not 25 years of age. But the key is this. We all go through trials and testings. That's what James says. That's why he says, when troubles of any kind come your way. So when it comes, what happens when it comes? Some people give up. Some people endure. Some people finish the race well. Some people just average. Some people wander away. That's how James ends off the letter. If anybody wanders from the truth, we have a responsibility as a Christian. Bring them back. Bring them back. Because you can help them save a soul. Because Christ, we heard the wonderful communion message, how the blood of Christ can wipe away all our sins. We have this responsibility to bring them back. But today, we want to say, look, how can we finish this race well? How can we face trials and tribulation and not wander from the truth? But we'll keep on going, keep on going, keep on going until we finish the race. That is something that I want to share with you from the book of James. It goes like this. There are three things that we could do. I call it the faith in progress, right? It's like our faith gets tested. Our faith gets tested. Crisis builds character. Tests builds tenacity. Trials increase our trust in God. Patience builds perseverance. If we can see all that and we say, wow, this is great. Crisis can build character. Test builds tenacity. Trials increase trust in God. If we can appreciate all this, then when we grow through our next trial, we will count it all joy. We will be able to see the end and say there is a crown of life promised for us. So when you look through the next time when you read the book of James again, these are some of the trials and tribulation that was mentioned. Not all, this is not the whole thing, but I just picked up a few. Chapter 1, there's income inequality. The poor and the rich. So amongst Christians, there were poor and rich. There were problems. There were issues, financial issues. Chapter 1 talks about anger and verbal diarrhea. People are quick to listen. James tells us, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Because why there are Christians, the Christian community, they've got anger management issues. Chapter 2 talks about prejudice, discrimination, racism. It was prevalent at that time. It is still the same today. Talk about James, chapter 2. I call it the NATO Christian. This is a Singapore joke. For those who come from Singapore, you probably understand this. NATO stands for no action, talk only. Right? So if you are a NATO Christian, that's basically what James chapter 2 talks about. Faith and no deeds. Then you have chapter 3. It says, control our tongues and we will be perfect. And also, again, the tongue issue is a big problem. Because we all love to talk. And sometimes we talk too much. James chapter 3, 13 says, living on an honorable life. James 4 talks about quarrels and fighting. And issues of pride. And then warning about self-confidence. It goes on. The whole list, the whole book of James lists out different trials and temptations as well. when we encounter all sorts of trials, what happens? Many either grow through it or you just fall by the wayside. So how should we respond to trials? For all the dog lovers, you'll like this picture, but I've kept one for you as well. For those cat lovers, the next one will be for you. So when you look at this picture, I want to show you this picture. This why? Because there is a promise. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Because afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And then it goes on this. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. So there's two parts here, trials and temptation. So we're going to deal with the trials first, and then we'll talk about temptations. All right. So the first response when we encounter the next trial in our life, remember this, patiently endure. It's not just only endure, it's not just building endurance, but patiently endure. What is the difference? The word patiently we talked about when we did chapter 1 was to abide, to come under. The Greek word, to abide, to come under, to surrender, to be steadfast in God. So when you are patiently enduring or patiently endure, what you're saying is we're not only just withstanding the problem, we are abiding as we go through it. That's the big difference. That's the key difference when we go through the next trial in our life. Patiently endure. Then we patiently wait. It says James chapter 5. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rain in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. Look, I'm not a farmer. Dennis is. Right, Dennis and Jen, they've got experience in farming. But I do know one thing. I've got one fruit tree in my garden, just one. I've been putting all the necessary nutrients and it hasn't bared much fruit yet. So, but I know one day it will happen, one day. That is what it is, patiently wait. It's like saying the cat there, he doesn't know where the mice is coming, but he's patiently waiting. That one day, the mice will appear. Just one day. Can you remember a story that was mentioned by Jesus about waiting, patiently waiting? Anyone recall? Not really. The 10 virgins. 5 were well prepared. The other 5 not so prepared. Patiently waiting. Why those 5 who were prepared, managed to get into the banquet, whereas the other 5 foolish ones, they missed out. Patiently waiting, or patiently, that's why it says, dear brothers, be patient as you wait. As you wait, you know, you gotta have that abiding spirit, abiding in the Lord. You gotta expect things to happen and then experience when that happens. You don't know when it's coming, but then we got to just continue waiting and believing with an expectant heart to say, God, I don't know when it's coming, but I know it will happen. That's the kind of be patient as you wait. It might not be tomorrow. I don't know when. God might have given you a promise in your life and you're still waiting. Hey, it's okay. You just got to keep waiting. But be patient, abide in Him. That's the key. And then the third one, when your next trial that you encounter, take courage. It says, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. The next time when you face the next trial in your life, be patient and take courage. Be encouraged. Take courage. Take courage with you. as you go through your next trial, as you go through the next testing. If you can recall, what did God say to Joshua when he was about to enter into the promised land? He says to Joshua 3 times, be strong and courageous. You gotta be courageous before you enter into a battlefield. You cannot not go into that preparation mode. Psych yourself. You know, like when I was playing rugby back in, you know, back in the early days when I was a teenager, one of the things that we did was that we called the psychological preparation. In other words, we go into the room prior to the game, all right, and we psych ourselves to win. We imagine that we are going into the game already. We imagine in our heads what is going to happen. Then we imagine how we win the game. We imagine and says, all right, these are the key players from the opponent's side. They are very strong. Now we're going to see ourselves tackling the guy down. We imagine a lot of things. We prep in that room. We think it through. How? Why? Because we need to take courage. That's from the worldly point of view, from a game's point of view. We need to be courageous so that when we get into the field, we are all ready. For those New Zealand fans, why do they have the haka? You know? Every game that you go through, you have to psych yourself. So the same thing with us. James is telling us, you too must be patient. Take courage. Take courage with you. Because the next trial, you need to be strong and courageous. It's not for the faint-hearted. So this is what happens. Life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. Think about that. You know, the life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. It's not moving. There you go. Okay, I got that one. Thank you. So how do we respond to the next trial? Abide, expect, and experience. Abide patiently. Being patient is to abide. And then we have to expect so that we can experience. Because this is an invitation from the Lord. You know, in Psalm 34, come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. There's an invitation here for us this afternoon. But as we go through trials, remember this. Abide, expect. While you're waiting, sometimes you don't know what's happening, but abide, expect, and experience. And the last part I want to talk about is temptation. We all go through life with temptations in life. The key is this. For trials, we go through, we endure. We have endurance. We take courage. Wait and abide. But what do we do when it comes to temptations? You know, I was told, I'm not 100% sure, but someone said to me that in some of the Hindu practice, how they overcome temptation is to actually be tempted and try to resist it. You can't resist temptations because the Bible doesn't tell us to resist temptation. What does the Bible teach us when it comes to temptation? Flee from temptation. But you resist the devil. But we Christians, or not just Christians, we humans get it all wrong. We try to resist temptation, and then we flee from the devil. We run away from the devil instead of fleeing from temptation. We do the opposite around. It says, but here's this, resist the devil. He gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The key to resisting the devil is not with your own strength. The key to resisting the devil is to humble ourselves first. And it is under the grace of God that when he gives us, God gives grace to those who are humble. And when we have that grace, that's where we have the strength to resist the devil. And the last one, flee from temptation. This is where I want to say, so I'm going to end off very soon here, if I can get the musicians ready, is this. When we go through trials, we apply that. Patiently endure, patiently wait, take courage. But when it comes to temptation, you gotta resist the devil and flee from temptation. You see, the Bible says this: flee from sexual immorality. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Remember this. Trials and temptation. We want to go through this and grow through this as well. We don't want to just go through things, because if we just go through things and not grow from it, we might end up in James chapter 5. The last part, we wander from the truth. But we don't want to be just a wanderer. We want to be a wonder Christian, where people will say, wow, your faith has been tested, but yet you stood firm. James, of all the people he chose as an example, he chose Job. He says, look at Job. Look at how he survived. Look at how he thrived in that, and how God blessed him back. Help is here. We are not going to be left alone to go through trials without any help. God has provided a help for us. Wisdom, James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask. The generous God, our generous God, will give it to you. Grace. God will give you grace. Humble yourself. He will give you grace to help. James then talk about prayer. Praying for one another and praising. If anyone who is sick, go to an elder. Pray for one another. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says, you know, call on me and I will answer you. You got a direct line to God. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. That's the number to remember. And it says, I will give you rest. So I'll end off with this slide. For those who are weary from a trial, you might be bruised and battered. Some of us may be even bitter because of the relationship that we go through. Maria talked about family. Family has feud. Not just only the spiritual family here, sometimes within your own family, you go through lots of family feud. And you're tired. Some of us are tired. Some of us are tired because of financial stress. Some of us are tired because of relationship issues. Some of us are tired because things aren't going the way that you want it to be. Some of us are tired because you've been waiting. And it says, when, God? When? I don't know when, but I do know one thing. God says this, I will give you rest. He says, come to me. This is another invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear. So I want to ask you the last question for all of us to think through. What does God want to do in your life today? There's unfinished work in us, but we want to finish well. We want to finish well because at the end of the day, we are all going to be standing before the judge. Let us finish well because we need this fellowship. We need the one another. Because take courage. Sometimes I'm afraid. I need courage. I need to borrow courage from one another. I can go to God, and God can strengthen me. But I need the one another in the fellowship so that we can all stand on each other's shoulders when we do need. Sometimes we need to carry the stretcher. Sometimes you have to be on the stretcher. That's what it is. That's the beauty of family. That's the beauty of fellowship. If you're going to come, if we come to a fellowship like this every Sunday, 3:45, to give up our afternoon prime time slot, and then we walk away from here not feeling encouraged, not feeling that to take courage, and not feeling filled, then we have wasted each other's time. But when we come here together at 3:45, we abide, we expect, and then we experience. Not only from the spiritual sense, we can all go spiritual, but we also want to experience the physical. As a family, that's what family is all about, isn't it? There will be times where we will rub each other's shoulders and feathers or whatever you want to call it. Because, you know, now we won't be rubbing each other's shoulders because it's COVID. It's 1.5 meters apart, so that's fine. You know? But you know what it means. Sometimes I have a big mouth and I might say something that is going to offend you. Sometimes I talk too much without action and you get discouraged by it or you get stumbled by it. Sometimes our pastors might say something and then you get offended, and then you stumble, and then you stray away. But that's what we are here called together as a family, to bring them back. So today I want to, if the musicians are ready, we're going to just let God speak to us and see where the Lord leads us this afternoon. But I do believe one thing. We all have trials in our life. We all have temptations in our life. Let us finish well. Let us encourage one another so that we can all grow through the trials and overcome temptation and resist the devil.
Thanks, Jeff. We're going to sing a couple of songs. But this is a time in our service where we want to make room for God to speak to our hearts. And so we don't want to rush this time. And I really invite all of us just to come with an openness to God. He's with us here right now. Holy Spirit is in this place and wanting to speak and to move. So can I invite you to stand as we sing a couple of songs. And Lord, we continue to give this time to you. We thank you for the wonderful words that Jeff spoke to us today. And Lord, we want to hear what you want to say to us, Lord, through that. Lord, we don't know what you're on about, Lord, in each of our lives right now, but we do know that you are always at work, Father, bringing your transformation within us and among us. So we give this time, we make room for you, Lord, to come and have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Here is where I lay it down.